On the final Sunday of every month, we focus in particular on the Lord's Supper. I think that is right. Because if you think about our assembly on the Lord's Day, you might think of it in terms of a conversation. It is not a conversation of equals, but it is a conversation. It's a conversation in the sense that God speaks to us in the reading and in the preaching of His Word. God speaks to us. But God also hears from us. And so we pray and we sing and we address God and we speak to God in praying and in singing. It is a conversation. But what is it that makes it possible for a holy God to be approached by an unholy people, us? It is the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. And it seems to me, and I would commend to you the idea, that what we do around this table every week is the pivot. It's the thing about which all other things in worship revolve. I grew up on a farm. It was a wonderful day when my father bought a pivot irrigation system. You know those circles? Because I didn't have to hand move those irrigation pipes anymore. The pivot is that anchor that everything else moves around. God speaks to us in the reading of Scripture, in the preaching of His Word. And we speak to Him in praying and in praising in song. And so this morning, I invite you to listen to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. We've been reading this last week in our reading project as we've read through the New Testament in 3 months. We've been reading from 2 Corinthians. And I want to read verses 14 through the end of that chapter, chapter 5 of 2 Corinthians, verses 14 through 21. For the love of Christ controls us, because we've concluded this, that one has died for all. Therefore, all have died. And He died for all, that those who live might no longer live for themselves, but for Him who for their sake died and was raised. From now on, We regard no one according to the flesh. Even though we once regarded Christ according to the flesh, we regard Him thus no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, it is a new creation. The old has passed away, and the new has come. All this is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to Himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to Himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting to us the message of reconciliation. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, God making His appeal through us. We implore you, on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. For our sake, He made Him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in Him we might become the righteousness of God. And I would add, amen. Isn't that a wonderful passage? I remember reading this passage years ago, and it really changed my way of thinking about the Lord's Supper. Or maybe it's not so much that it changed my thinking about the Lord's Supper, it expanded it. I grew up hearing, and most often, when we think about the Lord's Supper, what the language we hear is sacrifice for us. It's the for us. Jesus died for our sins, and that is appropriate. That is true. But that notion that Jesus died to pay for our sins does not plumb the depths of the cross. There's more to say. I remember having a teacher that I really appreciated some years ago. And one of his recurring phrases as we talked about Scripture and we talked about God and we talked about Jesus Christ and we talked about the Spirit and we talked about the church, the recurring phrase that he had was, he would say, and he would write this on papers, if I wrote a paper, he would say, but there's always more. That's true, isn't there? There's always more to think about. There's always another side. There's always another facet. And so I want to invite you this morning, as we think about the Lord's Supper, beyond the fact that Jesus has paid for our sins, why did Jesus die on the cross? Twice in this passage, he says Jesus died, but he does not stress the idea he died for our sins. He stresses something beyond that, something more than that. He assumes, I think, that we understand Jesus died to pay for our sins. But the cross is about more than payment. The cross, and I would argue this table, is an invitation to take up that cross. That when we partake of this bread, we are committing ourselves to partake of the self-giving ways of Jesus. When we drink this cup, which to us is the blood of Christ shed for us, we are partaking of that cup and we are commending the idea to ourselves that we will partake this week of the self-giving ways of Jesus. His cross will be our cross. Look again and listen again at chapter 5, verse 15. And listen to what Paul says is the reason Jesus died on the cross. And he died for all. Why? Why, Paul? Why did he die for all? Paul says in verse 15, that those who live might no longer live for themselves, but for him who for their sake died and was raised. We meet around this table because Jesus has called us to take up his cross, to be self-giving in the same way he was self-giving when he gave himself on the cross. Listen to that again. That those who live might no longer live for themselves. When I eat this bread, when I drink this cup, when you eat this bread, when you drink this cup, you are committing yourselves or recommitting yourselves. We are recommitting ourselves for him for whose sake he died and was raised. It is, in a sense, a covenant renewal. We renew the covenant. We renew this commitment that we've made on the day of our baptism. We renew that covenant. And listen to the final verse of this passage, verse 21. For our sake, He made him to be sin who knew no sin. The sinless one died on the cross for sinners. That's true. But notice the last part of that verse. So that in him we might become the righteousness of God. And it's not simply just a juridical, a legal way of saying, well, he's righteous because of the blood of Jesus. We have been called to be God's people who live rightly in this world. When we gather around this table, we are committing ourselves to being the righteousness of God in a world where so much is not right, in a world where so much is wrong. When we eat this bread, when we drink this cup, we recommit ourselves to being the righteousness of God, to live rightly, to live justly, to do the right thing in our world. May God help us and be with us as we eat this bread and drink this cup this morning. May we take this seriously and thoughtfully, this bread and this cup.